Thanks, Don. It's Extension 720 here on 720 WGN. I am Justin Kaufman. Coming up, we heard Jan Schakowsky and Sean Casson talk about climate change, and the Democratic presidential candidates are talking it up. But some youth activists want to make sure that the talk to talk, walk the walk. They're asking that all Democratic candidates pledge their support for a specific climate change debate. No other questions, just about their plans for climate change. So that's coming up. We're going to talk with one of the youth activists that is putting that pledge together, coming up here from Barrington, Illinois. So we'll talk with her coming up in this hour. But right now, we continue our theme tonight with who's going to save the world, talking about climate change and when it comes to Chicago environmental justice. You don't have to go far to realize that Chicago has several cases of contaminants and pollutants that have seeped into our land, air, and water. Just this week, the Chicago Park District's replacing or removing water fountains just because of lead. Or look to the southeast side's fight over Petco particles in the air, or take a trip to Gary on a windy day. But if you really want to get to know how industry and pollution has affected communities, take a close look at Altgeld Gardens. The far south side public housing project has stood 115 years at 130th and Ellis. It's one of the first ever public housing sites in the United States. It's also famous for being the place where then-community organizer Barack Obama got his start. But Altgeld Gardens is also known by another name, the Toxic Donut. Surrounded by industry, a sewage plant, and landfills, the air quality alone has been deemed unsuitable, hazardous. High levels of asthma and respiratory illness have plagued this community, and for years, nobody cared. Hazel Johnson cared. A resident of Altgeld Gardens, Hazel stood up. She organized an office called the People for Community Justice after her husband died of lung cancer in 1969, and her kids were having skin and respiratory problems of their own. Johnson fought back, and the activist is known to be the woman who started the environmental justice movement. She died back in 2011. Today, her daughter, Cheryl Johnson, runs the office out of our Altgeld Gardens and has continued her mom's legacy by working with the city to get a solar energy farm put in where one of the factories once stood. We took a trip down to the public housing project to visit Cheryl, talk about her accomplishment, but also her life living in the toxic donut.
My name is Cheryl Johnson. You're in Altgeld Gardens, and you're in my office known as People for Community Recovery.
How did you get into this work?
By force. And when I said force, my mother's had seven kids, and she said I was always a problematic kid, so she always kept me doing stuff with her. So my mother founded this organization, and I was working at a federal laboratory, so I was always doing her administrative work, making her flyers. So I've really been engaged in this office since when I was 22 years old.
And your mother is considered to be really one of the champions, if not the founders, of the movement of environmental justice and really pointing out environmental racism in this city. Altgeld Gardens sits in the middle of what they once called a toxic donut. We just came from talking with Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky, Congressman Sean Casson, all talking about climate change and things that Congress can do to, and the EPA could do to help families and to help Americans. For you to be in this position and to be part of a family that has championed environmental justice and taken on environmental racism, what's your take on Congress, the government, and others trying to help out your area?
It's a long time coming. It took my mother 25 years to see the fruit of her labor. When you talk about climate change, she always talked about the carbon emission had impact the ozone, but she said you're going to see a change in the weather pattern. You know, so she always talked about those things. Considering that my mother never had a background in none of this, and to see that a lot of policies and program is being implemented 30 years ago when she was advocating for that. So it's phenomenal, you know.
The issues that you faced in Altgeld Gardens and many communities in Chicago, primarily in the South and West Sides, have faced when it comes to environment, they're significant. Talk about those, because they called it the toxic donut because of the industry that essentially donutted this community. This, you lived it. What are some of the things that affected the people that live here?
See, you can see my screensaver.
Yeah.
This is my inspiration every day. And this is why you call it the toxic donut. This is Altgeld Gardens. This is the sewage treatment facility. These are all the hazardous material surrounding us. So this demonstrates this is a toxic donut with the industry.
Right.
And it teaches me and inspires me that all this got to be cleaned up. It may not happen in my lifetime, but we need to set the roadmap to achieve environmental cleanup in this country. Because if you look at this, industries, look at all the waterways, air, water, and land. And we need to get universities, government, communities, and businesses together to see how we can resolve some of these environmental harms that we have in our community. Because it depends on our future.
Can you see and feel and taste and smell living in what is called a toxic donut?
Yeah, especially when it comes to air quality issues. It was unbearable at one particular time. You knew when you coming down the Bishop Ford Expressway that you coming towards All Girl Guards because the smell was that horrible. We used to have like 325,000 pounds of pollutants emitted to our air every day. Think it's down to like less than 100,000 pounds. That's a significant improvement. You see that more business in this area is looking at things from a green perspective in opposed to what is all about the dollars at the end of the day. So I can't never say that, right? never say that. But it's to enhance the quality of life because we have learned. We have technology. We have more information than we ever have to try to correct some of the mistakes that we have made in the past. And, you know, it's just like even growing. Are you the same size when you was born?
No.
You know, so we have to change. So change is inevitable.
Right, right.
And we have to be adamant about protecting our air, protecting our water, and protecting the land that we live, work, and play on. There's no compromise to that anymore. Because if it is, then we see the results. We see the mass destruction that is going on. Mm-hmm. And it's because of us as humans.
You know, I think about the challenges because, for instance, I think so many people who probably were flabbergasted or possibly shocked or stunned about the situation in Flint, Michigan with water, where the water was contaminated and people just can't understand why that was not fixed.
You know, one of the things I say about that was very criminal. And if you knew that this water is contaminated for the whole village, the city, whatever they call itself, you knew that. And you didn't try to make a change in that, and that's criminal. Because one speck of that water could damage a kid for the rest of their lives. You know what I mean?
So I do,
Not, you know, not to try to correct that. Because government has a responsibility. Because if they didn't have the funding locally, the federal government folks that came in and did some intervention and put some resources, that's what our tax is about. But we didn't holler about those things, you know. There's a lot of Flint, Michigan neighborhoods around this country because we have to deal with the old infrastructure of the leaded pipes. You know, now that we know. And what's wrong with I would pay the extra tax if I know it's going to deal, especially with the infrastructure problem we have with our drinking water, what's coming into our homes. There's no compromise for that because it's irreversible damage once you are damaged. So why not tax? You could tax me. I'm the poorest you can tax, but I'm willing to pay that extra tax. Tax these industries.
Yeah.
You know, it's not about the bottom line. It's about the quality of life.
I always think
be fruitful as much as possible without putting harm in
you
way.
You so eloquently say about, you know, just one drop of that water or exposure to some of these things is irreversible. And I look just sitting in your office here in Elk Hill Gardens, I see the pictures of kids and playing in the playground, and I think about knowing what kind of contaminants are in the soil here, what kind of contaminants are from the landfill, from the sewage plant, from the surrounding area. Do you think about the fact that even in your own words, talking about one drop or irreversible, the impact that some of this environmental chaos has had on your community.
And that's why it's so important for us to try to be on top of our game, but because of our limited human resources to be able and not having the ability to hire the scientists that we need to help bag up that information is one of our big barriers. But to make sure that these industries are in compliance with the permits that make them operate, that's where we have a voice. And to exercise those words. But it's really difficulty. So the best thing to do is put it out there in the public and awareness. Let people know. You have a right to know if there's an industry next door to your house. You have the right to know how they operate. You don't have no business. You don't have no rights to their business, how they make their money.
Right.
But at the end of the day, you have a right to know about their processes and the chemicals that you have. You know, like Sterigenic.
Yeah.
And that goes back to not having a lot of independent inspectors from the government, because somebody skipped a beat on that.
Or cut a budget.
From the county, right. From the federal, from the state, to allow them to say when they have too much emissions in the facility, open up the doors there, or let it go down in the sewer system. That's criminal. And we need to prosecute industry that do criminal behavior, because what you do, look, all those people in that neighborhood got cancer.
And I hear what you're saying. It's different between what's criminal and what's maybe ignorant, not knowing what your product
not
is doing.
Knowing.
Yeah, and that's
knowing.
That's really the balance. Because you could say that the industries that have surrounded this neighborhood for years.
But not when we've got a scientific review board that reviewed this stuff.
Right.
You know what I mean? We're supposed to be the best in the country. Come on. Ain't no excuses. These people are looking at the end of the day how much money I can make, and people wants to dirty up, don't want to pay to clean it up or to manage their stuff. They rather do illegal dumping than to pay the tipping fee to do it. Come on, now. You know you're doing something. I mean, there's no excuse for that.
Right.
Do what is right, because what you're doing at that moment is going to have a lifetime impact on somebody or this or that neighborhood or that community. Because how do we clean it up? Pollution don't go to heaven, y'all. Right? So whatever goes up, comes down, is in our soil, is in our water. Look at the triple effects that they're doing when they do this stuff. And we can't have no excuses for them. But our government got to be strong like that. And that's why I believe in campaign reform. Corporations should not be financing any of our political processes.
Right. For you to be in this office in Altgeld Gardens and to be affecting change, you're talking about the solar energy, the panels that are coming in here, you're bringing renewable energy and clean energy to the Altgeld Gardens area. This really comes from you. It comes from the people in this community that have stood up and said, we want change. We don't want another industry to come into these vacant lots, these abandoned lots. How does that make you feel to know that you are doing something good for your community?
You know, it's a war with many battles. It has its ups and its downs. But I'm committed. You know, and I would like to see, because what we do out here have an impact on this whole city, if not the state. It's not this country. We need to have community scientists who's out here working with industry. We need to partner with this stuff, because at the end of the day, they're my neighbors. So how are we going to get along? Can we get along? Do you want to get along? And then the saddest thing that I hate about it the most is many of these industries are being subsidized by government. So you
getting money.
Resources,
yeah, right.
And you still don't want to do the right thing? Come on now. I mean, that's wrong. That's morally wrong. And I don't know what level of the law that is, but it's morally wrong for you to even do anything like that. We subsidize a lot of corporate America to do the right thing, and they still don't.
Cheryl Johnson, I can't thank you enough for letting us come down and talk to you here in your office, and good luck, and we can't wait to see the solar panels.
Yeah, we're trying to make our community one of the first solar community. It only takes 3 megawatts to power up our community. We're proposing to do 10 so that we can assist adjacent neighborhood and whatever residual we have left, work with ComEd, be a good neighbor, and by our assets so that we can support programs for the community, help community get back to cooperative businesses in our community, so where residents can feel good and have ownership, and so we can beat the perception that people in public houses just dependent on government. That ain't so true, because we, as you see, we try to make our community every day just by looking at my office.
It's inspiring. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Cheryl Johnson's the director of the People for Community Justice at Altguild Gardens. She'll be speaking on a panel with Bill McKibben and others at the Chicago Humanities Festival coming up on May 4th. More to come here on Extension 720. Stay with us.